Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I'm your co-host, Derek Hoskins, and with me tonight, as always, is my good friend and yours, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Not too bad. How about yourself, Derek?
I'm doing really good. I'm glad to be back. I wasn't here last week. You and Colonel Bob took a look at Spider-Man 2, the Insomniac game on PlayStation Fun, which it looks like such a fun game. I had to come back on this week for a couple of reasons.
One, I didn't make you.
One, I didn't want Ian to have to do this alone because Ian, if you didn't notice from the thumbnail or from the graphic when you clicked on this podcast, we're going to talk about the Metal Gear Solid remaster, the HD edition or whatever they're calling it. I have not gotten to play the remaster. And so Ian is going to take the reins. I'm just going to be here to banter with him and just kind of throw in a, yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. But I had to do that because one, I'm getting real tired of the narrative between Ian and Colonel Bob that I hate video games or that I'm bad at video games, because I do listen to the episode even if I'm not on it. And here, you son of a... I love video games. I love video games. I have too many children to get brand new systems. I have an Xbox Series S that I have fun with, that I actually played a game last night for all of 20 minutes before I almost fell asleep.
What did you play?
Oh my god, now I don't even remember. Oh, I went back. I was playing Halo 2 because I played Halo.
Okay,
like the first Halo. I loved Halo when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Played it, beat it, had an absolute blast with it. Started Halo 2 and just kind of never finished it. And so I've never played a Halo game after the first one other than the multiplayer.
Ever?
Yeah, I've never beaten any of them but the first one. So I was like, you know what? I've got Game Pass, I've got all of the Halo games available, I'll sit down and play it. And so I played through, actually I won't say it was 20 minutes, it was probably closer to an hour. I actually got to play like an hour of Halo 2, which isn't saying much because the beginning of Halo 2 is like a half an hour of cinematics. I actually love games. I don't get to play them very often, and because of that I'm not very good at them anymore. It's pretty sad, but anyway, so I had to defend my honor from you jackals. And not the cool jackal, the jackal with a Y.
Is that rant over?
I guess.
Then I'm going to correct you. So, I am talking about Metal Gear Solid. I am talking about the remastered. I am not talking about the collection. I'm just talking about part one.
Right.
Now, I have not currently beat the remastered version of this game. There's a reason. That's what I wanted to talk about. But just like any story, there's a beginning. So I want to start from the start. If you want a piece of my heart, you better start from the start. And I want to talk about why I was excited about this in the first place. So when I was a kid, I say kid, I was like 12.
When I was a boy.
When I was a little boy. My brother and I won Christmas. I believe my sister is the one that got it for us. She got us a PlayStation 1. Back then, it was known as PlayStation because it was the first one. So, do you remember growing up? You had a PlayStation,
I correct? Did.
All right. So, do you remember when you got a PlayStation, they would come with demo discs?
Yes.
And the demo disc would come with multiple games. Mm-hmm. On that disc that you could play, right?
Oh, yeah.
Metal Gear Solid was one of these demos that came out for this PlayStation edition. So we got it, and I don't remember. There was like Tomb Raider 2 or something. There was a few different PlayStation games on there, okay? Now, I do think... there's a few classics. I can't remember what's on there. So anyway, I digress. I remember Metal Gear Solid number one being on there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my brother and I would play that demo all the time. And I was like, you know, it's a really fun demo. And it really like got you excited for the game because you got to play the first level, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the game comes out, and I'm pretty sure it's a two-disc game, because back then it wasn't uncommon for a game to be two-disc. You know, that, oh, yeah. Resident Evil 2,
Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy, there was a few of them that were two-disc. Mm-hmm. And that game came out, and I think my brother ended up getting it for Christmas. You know, I never get to play my PlayStation. Go see my Facebook post if you... I know you were the first person to react to that. So
I laughed so hard.
It was so funny. I watched that 100 times and laughed hysterically. And then I kind of cried a little because I was just like, that was real to me.
I understand. It was bad.
With that being said, he got the game Christmas, birthday, whatever. And the game came out late October 2000. 1998. It's set in the 2000s.
Yeah.
1998. Okay. So we get this game, and it's exactly how you remember from the demo. It's the graphics are phenomenal. Okay. Because mm-hmm. you're coming from Super Nintendo, it's Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
You still got that grainy graphics, but it's 3D, and it's like that was back then. That was open world to us.
Oh yeah.
So you pop this game in, you play the first disc, and just there, I don't think there was one bad review on this game when it came out. And it became a cult classic, and everybody loved it, and it spawned, like, many sequels, and they just got better and better each one. Except, like, 2, a lot of people rag on 2.
I don't really remember 2
that well.
You didn't play as Snake. You didn't play as Solace. You were Raiden through most of the game. It was...
Yeah, which weird.
He was fine, but...
But it's not the character that we fell in love with.
Right.
Now...
It's like with Last of Us Part 2. What are you doing? Yeah. Don't get rid of the main character of the game. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I haven't played that yet. But I already know what happens, yeah. So yeah. I agree. That's one of the reasons I haven't played it. Anyway, I digress again. So I've got a lot of love for this game because, you know, when you're 12, 13 years old, there are games that stick out to you.
Mm-hmm.
There are movies as well. But in this aspect, games, and I'll give you this one. Tomb Raider 2, because I've told this story on here before, that so Ian Wells and I used to, we still do, no, not so much here lately, man, but we used to, like, if he got a game and I got a game, once we beat it, we kind of trade off. But for the most part, like, I saw this dude on a daily, no mm-hmm. exaggeration, a daily. So for like a full like summer straight, and probably through the winter, if I'm being honest. No, it was definitely through the winter. I'd spend time at his house, he'd spend time at my house. We had a group that we'd hang out with. We would play pretty much anything. So this one, actually, we didn't play together, but I remember playing Tomb Raider 2 with him, and I told this story on here, to where I think that's where my anxiety started, is when you mm-hmm. start off in the ocean, that shark is circling you, and you've only got so much like breath, and the bar is like, it's dwindling, and you're running out of air, and they don't tell you where to go, and you're like, what the fuck, I'm in the middle of the ocean, what do I do? And you just got this little half-ass harpoon gun. So, we played that, a lot of like Resident Evil 2, and he does basically what I do now. He blacks out his room. So mm-hmm. He would have like a curtain, then a blanket over it, so no light would get in that room.
Mm-hmm.
He was very Nosferatu like in the way he lived. And
lived.
I love that.
Lived. What do you mean? Like he's not like that now.
That's true. That's very true. And I do the same thing still. So we play like Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 and Resident Evil Code Veronica, anything that you could tag the name Resident Evil on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so like fun to me growing up, being able to like spend so much time with somebody and play these games that I like and just have all these memories
mm-hmm.
because I could still talk about it to this day. When we were growing up, Derek, you and I are about a year apart, so
mm-hmm.
you're actually Ian's age, so
yeah,
we're all really close together in age, so you'll understand my references and the nostalgia that I speak about here when I say when we grew up, internet was not as common
right.
as it is today. You had to be a special person to have internet. For the longest time, we didn't have mm-hmm. internet, And then when you wanted it, you had to unplug the phone line. That's right. At home, we had a phone line. You unplugged it and you plugged it into the computer and you listened to it whine, screech, bitch, moan, and complain for 15 minutes so it would start up. And it just sounded like somebody was throwing glass in a wood chipper.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded horrendous. And to me, like, now that's music to my ears, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like, oh, that means you're logging onto the internet.
Yep.
Back then, I should say. Now, I'd be like, for the love of God, unplug that shit. So, yeah.
I don't want to interrupt. Keep going.
No. I was going to ask, like, what were you going to say about your internet? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, yeah, I've talked to my kids about this. Like, they, and I don't want to sound like the old man yelling at the sky, but there mm-hmm. is something to be said about younger generations that didn't have that. Because, you know, when I was growing up, we did have dial-up internet. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until I went to college that I had, you know, fast, actual, like cable internet. Mm-hmm. And we're talking cable. This is before fiber optics even. And yeah.
And no Wi-Fi yet. No Wi-Fi,
no,
right?
No Wi-Fi. None of that nonsense. And it's so hard getting like kids of younger generations to understand that this wasn't the norm 30 years ago. Hmm. It's not that long of a period. And I do look back on that time with so much fondness. I have so many memories of logging onto the computer and listening to that god awful sound. And you were talking about playing with Wells every day. I had a group of friends that I played games. That's all we would do. They would come over to my house and we would put on a game and we'd be.
What was your game rotation? Do you remember?
There was a handful because at the time, like when PlayStation came out, we went like strictly PlayStation for a while in my house. Mm-hmm. Like we were Nintendo for a long time. The Genesis came out. We did that. And then when PlayStation came out, I was like, okay, we're going to do this forever. Until PlayStation 2 started sucking, and then we switched over to Xbox for a while and back to PlayStation. Now it's kind of interchangeable. But when the PlayStation came out, it was Resident Evil 2 because I played it, before Resident Evil. I played Resident Evil 2 first.
So did I, actually.
So it was Resident Evil 2. It was Final Fantasy 7. My God, okay. I loved that game. And then I other than those two, those were the two big ones that I played on PlayStation. Because also around that time, we had a Nintendo 64,
mm-hmm.
and 64 dominated in my house. Because PlayStation, we were there, but 64, after right around that same time, I got real hard into that. And the reason I said that we were like a PlayStation household is because my dad used to buy us games constantly.
Really? Like, okay.
Yeah.
Dad?
Oh, yeah. So my father loved NASCAR, loved racing of every kind. And so he would buy the newest console, and magically it was for the kids. The first game was always a racing game. And so at that time we were playing a lot of PlayStation, and because my dad liked it because of those things, but the N64 was at the same time. And so it was Resident Evil 2, Final Fantasy 7, Mario 64, and, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, which is my favorite game of all time, and Episode 1 Racer was
okay.
Those were the ones that we went like through constantly. You know, we throw in Mario Kart, things like that every now and again. But yeah, we were playing games like that a lot. Like Resident Evil 2 was my jam. So much so that we got Resident Evil after the fact. I'd already beaten Resident Evil 2 before I even played the first one. And it was so good. And the graphics, oh my God, you have no idea.
Yeah, back then it was mind-blowing.
Children have no idea. I remember playing Final Fantasy VII for the first time and literally calling a friend and being like, you cannot believe how good this game looks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back and look at it now, it's just like, this looks like literal garbage. But at the time, it was better than anything else because, again, we had Nintendo 64, Sega Genesis, Dreamcast. It was 3D graphics with better color. It was more vivid, it was more vibrant. And even like when you're talking about Metal Gear Solid, you look at it now and it's like, God, it's like little blotches, you can barely see what you're doing. It's a really silly looking color. Everything about it is just kind of rough, but at the time it was legitimately groundbreaking.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I I'll get into some of mine. So when him and I would get together, there was, like I said, there was a few of us, my brother and a few other people, but like mainly me and Ian. But I'll tell you, we played Resident Evil 2. Like you said, I played that first before the first one.
Before you get into your full rotation, since we brought up Resident Evil 2, did the interrogation room make you jump out of your chair? The liquor?
The liquor for the first time?
Not the first time. When you're in the interrogation room, it's a little later on into the game, and the liquor jumps through the mirror.
Through the divider. Okay. Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Best, biggest scare I've ever had in a video game. To this day, I've never jumped as high as I did when that happened. I think I screamed a little bit.
Well, when the... I remember he would usually play. I'd go to his house. He'd play Resident Evil 2. Mm-hmm. We'd switch the controller back and forth. But for the most part, those games, I like to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I was a watcher.
I understand. So Allie's a watcher.
He ran into the G, whatever you call it, the tyrant thing, for the first time. And we legit thought, because like that thing's supposed to be there to basically destroy everything. And I feel like it attacked a zombie, and we were like, oh, cool, man. This thing's on our side. So he goes to like just casually walk by it, and it turns and just grabs him up. And we're like, Jesus Christ, like screaming. And it is to where his mom comes in, and she's just like, what's going on? And we're like, no, nothing. And we got scared at the game. So Resident Evil 2 was big in our rotation. And like I said, it wasn't just two, like, when 3 came out, we did 3, and then Code Veronica for Dreamcast was one of the first games I ever owned on Dreamcast. It was the first game I ever played with Wells. We were mainly PlayStation men. His cousin had a 64. I did not grow up in a house with a Nintendo 64. I had a PlayStation, and I played PlayStation. Anytime I played 64 is when I went to Wells' house, and I'm talking like we played the same games over and over. Mario Kart 64. Pokemon Stadium
was so good.
WWF No Mercy and WWF WrestleMania 2000. We played those anytime I went over there. It was guaranteed.
That was back when wrestling games were still good.
Yeah, and the bodies were all blocky, but they had like the real face like pasted on, so they were just like looking all weird. You're like, look at these graphics. So
it's amazing.
That's what we played. Now, PlayStation-wise, I remember going to his house, and he got Mortal Kombat 4. And that was when Mortal Kombat introduced weapons into the game.
Oh, yeah. I have that one.
We played that all day, every day, for 2 weeks straight, at least. Now, you also got to remember, I mean, PlayStation 1, we're playing WWF Warzone.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, magazines were very much a thing. Not that they aren't now, but they're not nearly as popular now. Because back then, the GamePro magazine had cheat codes in the back of every edition. And then they had like upcoming games coming out in it. But they also gave reviews on release games and soon-to-be-released games and shit like that. Now, our local library would rent these magazines out. So we lived downtown. We would just walk there, grab the magazines, and, you know, go home, read them, maybe make some copies before we left the library of the cheat codes and everything. We did that. Back then, you could make copies. It was 10 cents a copy. And, God, I'm not trying to sound like that old fart like you just said. Like, back in my day. You can't help it,
though, when you talk about something.
You used to ride the horse to the Piggly Wiggly up and down in a snowstorm. Like, that's not what I'm trying to sound like. But it really was a different time back then. And I'm very appreciative now from how far we came. But I'll be damned if I don't miss those times. If you told me, if you snap your fingers right now, you could go back, I'd be like, oh, fuck that. I don't want to do that. I want them to be right here. I want them to live right here.
Yeah,
same. And just that feeling, like a few months ago, I went back to the library for the first time in years to get a library card. And all of those memories just came rushing back, and that same feeling I got. And it doesn't look the same. The library looks much different from when I was younger.
All the computers are in the lobby.
That and like
they, why are there computers?
You can get movies and games, and you can check out a bunch of stuff from there now.
They have comic books there, for God's sake.
Yeah, which blew my mind.
Yeah, I know.
Which is cool. Yeah, dude, I didn't even know. When I walked down those stairs and turned the corner, I was like, they have fucking graphic novels down here. And then I thought I owned most of these, but still.
Right.
And most of them get off the internet. But like I said, the nostalgia, and it's different. Like taking a comic book or a book in general and holding it in your hands and flipping through the pages is a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember playing like Mortal Kombat 4, Resident Evils, and Tomb Raider 2 and 3 when it came out, and Revelation. It was the last one supposed to be, and it was a huge deal. And then you play like Zelda Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, like all these games. And even if they're one-player games, like you said, man, it was just really fun to call your buddy or buddies and be like, hey, whose house are we meeting at? Because, you know, right after you get out of school, like, oh, we got to beat this level. You know, who's coming over? Who wants to beat this level? You know, we got to fight Mr. X tonight. You coming over? Oh, I can't, but you come over to my house. All right, cool. I'll bring the game. And you took your memory card over there and you popped it in, and it was that easy. Like, if I wanted to come to your house but continue where I'm at, there wasn't no logging out, logging into my profile. I took a little memory card that was about this big and about this wide, and I brought it over, and I popped it into your PlayStation, and next thing you know, you got all my game files.
Yep.
Original Xbox did the same thing. There was a little memory stick that popped into your controller.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, super cool. So, transitioning into, like, graphics-wise and going into Original Xbox... they released like a version of Metal Gear Solid for Xbox. I never played that. I never played that one. I don't know how well it did or anything like that. What I can tell you is all of these feelings I tell you about came rushing back when I got this collection, and I was super excited, and I popped it in, and I was like, maybe my HDMI cord came unplugged because this looks just like playing it on PlayStation 1. So I'm not trying to bitch, but here's what burns must do. My stew got burned the moment that first cutscene comes on and you see those greeny graphics. And I'm like, okay, look, I'm not trying to knock it because I appreciated that back in the day. And I'm not trying to sound smug because I have an original Xbox. I have a GameCube. I can still put those games in. I can still play with those. Compared to now, awful graphics, stellar back in the day. But compared to now, they're shit. They're garbage. I still like playing those games because, like I said, it's a feeling I get. If I get a game that's supposed to be remastered, I don't want it to look the same. If I wanted that, I would have just went and bought a PlayStation 2 and bought the PlayStation version and played it on PS2. That's my issue I have. So the graphics are atrocious.
Now, I have not played this one, but they did the exact same thing with Resident Evil 1 on the Switch. Because I got really excited.
Tell me about that.
I got really excited. This was probably last year. I don't remember. They were kind of leading up to when they were going to bring out Resident Evil 4, the like HD remake, and for PS5. And I was like, God, you know what? I want to go back and play Resident Evil. And I saw that they had a remastered version on the Switch. And so I got it immediately. It wasn't expensive. It was $10, maybe something like that. And I loaded that thing up and started. And man, it looked exactly the same. The graphics were exactly the same. It didn't look any better, which I wasn't expecting a lot, but maybe crisp up the colors, maybe do something, just tweak something if you're going to sell it as a remaster. Otherwise, just call it a port, because that's all it is. Yeah, they're just porting it over for another system. So I don't think you should charge a premium for a remaster of something if you're not going to remaster it. Now, granted, I am not a comic book I'm not a video game developer. I am not a graphic artist. I am not any of those things. I'm sure they did something to it, but it wasn't enough for me to tell.
All I'm saying is, so actually, to touch on what you just said, Resident Evil, the original, the director's cut version is what I grew up on. Mm-hmm.
Same. That was the one that I played as well.
That's the one I played after after
had the zombie turning its head on the the cover.
Yeah, and had the real live cutscenes.
Oh with yeah,
real actors.
Just that.
So they did a remaster version for GameCube, mm-hmm. okay, and it looked good. It looked really good compared to the original version. And then they released a PS4 remaster of the remaster, and it mm-hmm. it looked good. It looked really good compared to the original.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what I was expecting.
Right.
And I know Resident Evil did Resident Evil 2 and 3 and 4 remakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I was expecting. Final Fantasy did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I will say I was never a big Final Fantasy VII fan. I didn't really get into it.
God,
the
remake
Final Fantasy VII. Is a lot of fun.
The remake played it, is... I played the demo because I was curious. I was like, I wanted to see what it looked like because
it's free on PlayStation.
Yeah, because again, when I was younger, Final Fantasy VII was one of my favorite games. I absolutely loved it. That was the first big RPG that I like played all the way through and got and beat.
Okay,
and I loved Final Fantasy VII, so I was really concerned about what it was going to do gameplay wise, how it was going to be different, and so I played the remake of it, and I was blown away by how good it looked. Absolutely blown away. And I was also blown away that the combat was different. It wasn't the same, like,
turn-based,
boring combat. And you know what happened? I couldn't beat the first boss.
Really?
I couldn't. I played it for over an hour, just kept losing. I couldn't beat the first boss. And I was like, this isn't... If I'm going to play... Final Fantasy VII, I want to play the old slow turn-based Final Fantasy VII, the one that I fell in love with. I don't want to play a new action RPG that's packaged to look the same. I can watch the animated movies that they did if I want to see those characters look amazing with updated graphics. So with Final Fantasy VII, I didn't care for the remake. I didn't like the combat was too much. It was... I don't want it to be simple. I don't want it to not be difficult. But if I'm playing for an hour and I can't beat that first boss, then that game's just not for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Especially if you're not getting any joy out of it. That's
yeah, I was just getting frustrated.
Because I didn't like the originals, so this one was like right up my alley.
Right.
I didn't beat it, but it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
The Resident Evil remakes, I mean, those are classic.
They're fantastic.
The remakes are really fun too. So I wasn't even Resident Evil 4 had a remaster that came out a few years ago mm-hmm. on PS4, and it looked really good. So,
but I feel like again, 4 holds up anyway.
It does, and it didn't look bad to begin with, mm-hmm. and maybe that's why. And I'm not a developer like you. I never remastered a game, but I just think it's embarrassing. Like, a lot of people are complaining about it, rightfully so in my opinion, that this is supposed to be remastered. It's like, what did you remaster? And let me tell you, the controls seem better back on the regular PlayStation.
I think it's just because you were
clunky as shit.
I think it's just because that was what there was back then. I mean,
I thought about that. I'm like, maybe it's because like back then I could play it really well because mm-hmm. That's what it was. And now that it's controlling a character has become so advanced,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to go back to that.
Yeah, it is.
And if you are sitting here listening or watching and you're thinking, if you could play a game now, then there's no reason you shouldn't be able to go back. It's like riding a bike. It's not.
No, it's not.
Because I started working a few years ago for a Verizon store around here, and I'm so used to using smartphones. Now, when I first got into cell phones, they were flip phones. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's very important that you people know this. I had a flip phone. It was my first phone.
I had one that wasn't even a flip phone
thing. Well, my first one wasn't even a flip phone. That little Nokia one with the flashlight on the end.
Oh, I wish I could have had the Nokia. I had a little LG that had the little antenna that you could pull up. Oh,
I had that one too.
It
didn't last very long.
No, they were such garbage. But anyway, go ahead.
So I work at the store, and then somebody brings in a flip phone. They're like, mm-hmm. "Oh, I bet you haven't seen one of these in a while." I'm like, "It belongs in a museum." They didn't get my Indiana Jones reference, but so do you. So they hand me the phone. I look at it, and I have no fucking idea how to navigate through this thing.
Yep.
So no, it is not like
riding a bike. You can't go back. And especially when it comes to games, because like you said, controlling characters in games have become so intuitive now. Yeah. And I know we're talking about Metal Gear Solid. I haven't played this remaster, but I did play the original, and I did play the remaster of Resident Evil. And the reason why I say that is because they had similar controls. It was a little bit top down. You're controlling the character. There's a lot of spinning in place, that kind of stuff. And it is almost impossible when you switch over, when they released Resident Evil 4 and it was an over the shoulder view.
Yeah.
And you controlled it with that. It is almost impossible to go back and play Resident Evil with the old controller scheme. And I guarantee it's the same way with this. And it's, I know it seems silly because it's like, oh, well, just play the game. You played the game before. It's like if you drive, I'll give another example for anybody that doesn't believe it. Drive a single car, drive a vehicle for a couple of weeks, then drive a different vehicle you're not used to.
Oh, yeah. You'll tell the difference.
Watch. Like the vehicle I have at work, the gear shift is on the column.
Hmm.
Mine is on the console on the floor.
You're gonna find yourself reaching.
Yeah. The vans that we have for the post office, the gear shift is just a lever that you push down or up. So down into drive, up into reverse, push a button for park. And so every time I stop, I put my foot down for my brake, for my parking brake. I hit the park. Do whatever I got to do to get out. I'll drive my car home and put my foot down on a brake that's not there.
Yeah.
And that's after one day of driving around. So your brain gets used to things and your muscle memory kicks in. And so to try and go back to one of these games, it makes it less enjoyable because it's like what you were saying earlier. The reason why remakes and remasters work so well and why they sell well is because we're going back for the nostalgia hit. We're going back for the feeling we had when we were kids playing these games. And the problem is we don't get that feeling because it's not the same because we can't play it the same because it's so foreign to us at this point. Well, and that's the downside of remasters.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, when you're used to playing Resident Evil, the original, it's fixed camera angles from that way coming down the hallway. I'm running toward you. Okay. You can hear the groaning of the zombie, but you can't see it. And then it'll pop up in frame and then you can't even see you.
Right.
So you'll have to pull up your gun because you can't move. You pull up your gun, you're standing still, you're shooting at the camera. Not a big deal back then.
Right.
Now, like I said, I have an original Xbox, and now like there are games I try to like go through and play, and it's hard for me, like Harry Potter and Chamber of Secrets. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard for me to get used to it first because I take that right thumbstick and I'm trying to move the
camera so I can see around,
and it doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
That thumbstick was freaking useless back then.
Yeah, it really was. Why?
But
why
you didn't know that. It was just a place to rest your thumb.
It was nothing. There was nothing there.
So,
But N64 had it right. Just one thumbstick right in the middle. One
thumbstick.
And then games where you had to like use your palm and then you had a blister on your palm.
Oh, yeah. So with that being said, my rating on this game would be very low. Like nostalgia-wise, it's very high, but because of the clunky camera angles and the horrible controls and it looking like dog shit, sound-wise, everything sounds great. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if I had to rank it 1 to 10, I'd give it a 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Like, if you would have asked me this back in 98, I would have gave that game a 9 because it was a 9 and it still is a 9. Don't get me wrong, but not in today's
standards
for a remaster. Yeah. Now, if I'm going to play it today and it's the original version, it still gets a 9.
Right.
You know, because that's how it was intended. It's technology from 98. But if they remaster it and they're not actually doing anything to it, it's just like at that point, you should have just remade it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Did you rent this through Gamefly or did you buy it?
I rented it.
Okay. Do you know how much it retails for the?
It's like 70, I think.
So it's a full price game.
Yeah.
See, at that point, I say it's a cash grab. And granted, I haven't played it, but, and look, I'm not a cynic. I'm well aware that video game companies want to make money because they're a company. Yeah. They're selling a product. I don't begrudge them at all trying to make money. But when you're doing something that is playing off the nostalgia of your fan base and you're not doing anything new to update it, you're just setting up your customers for disappointment and failure. And that's where I have a problem with it. And I say, oh, this is a cheap cash grab. I don't think that that's all right. Mm-hmm. I'll probably never buy another game that is labeled remaster after playing the Resident Evil remaster.
Yeah.
Like, if they want to remake a game, sure. If you're going to actually, because the Resident Evil remakes, they remade those games. They changed the graphics. They were fun. They were good. The controls were still not great.
But they were definitely more modern.
But they were better. But, so, I get it. I mean, it's a bummer. It doesn't matter to me because I probably wasn't going to play this remaster anyway. Mm-hmm. Because Metal Gear, while I enjoy it, it was never one of my favorites. It definitely has a place in my heart, but it was never one of my favorites. But I don't know. I think that they're just playing off our nostalgia for these games. And it's a bummer when you go back to something that you loved so much and it doesn't bring you joy anymore.
If you're okay,
bummer of a episode.
If you're okay with being in the mindset of this game is not going to be better and it's going to be exactly what you played in 98, then by all means, buy it. Mm-hmm. Rent it, whatever. I'd suggest renting it, but buy it if that's what you're playing it for. My issue was I went into it thinking it was going to be remastered. Most remastered games at least look better and control a little better. The controls are pretty much the same.
Right.
You know, there's a little tweaks here and there. Because they actually came out with this collection on PlayStation 3 like 5-10 years ago.
Right.
It's just like this is no better than that, and this is PlayStation 5. So like what did they remaster it for? So I think it's just a name they stamped on there, and I don't think that's fair to charge full price. Now, granted, you are getting a lot of games. You're getting Solid Snake, I'm sorry, you're getting in number two called Solid Snake, the Nintendo version.
I don't even remember.
Well, you get the Nintendo games, you get Metal Gear Solid, you get Metal Gear Solid 2, and you get Snake Eater. So games. So I hear that's the creme de la creme. I never played
Snake Eater. I've played of Snake Eater, it's pretty freaking awesome. Now, again, I'm not a big Metal Gear guy, but I did play a little bit of Snake Eater. I'm a big
fan of 4. Four's See, my and favorite.
I definitely never played any of 4. I heard 4 was incredible. My brother-in-law swears by 4. He loved 4.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. God, he loved 4.
We need to have a talk about that then, because I also love 4.
Yeah. Yeah, he loved 4. So, did you try out any of the other ones when you had the collection? Do you still have it, or did you already give it?
I still have it. I'm trying to make a decision. Do I want to beat 1? Do I want to go ahead and go on to 2? Do I want to play 3? I'm a little nervous, but I also can appreciate the fact that Metal Gear Solid 2 came out on PlayStation 2 and Snake Eater came out on PlayStation 2 as 3. Well, didn't it?
Was it 2 or 3?
I can't remember.
I can't remember if it was 2 or 3.
But either way, I'm like...
But Metal Gear Solid 2 was... Yeah, I mean, controls alone, Metal Gear Solid 2 was better. I mean, it wasn't that... And I keep saying top-down. It's not a top-down view game, but it reminded me of like Resident Evil 1, where it's kind of you're looking down at an angle, almost like there's a house with the roof off of it, and you're kind of looking down at an angle at everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And so Metal Gear Solid 2 didn't have that, and it was a lot more it was better graphically and it was better control wise. So if I was you, I would give the other ones at least a shot. See, especially since you said you never played 3. You should give 3 a shot.
I agree. I should definitely at least give him a chance. I just beat Spider-Man 2. That was a review from last week. So I've got a game to send back. I got that to Gamefly, but you know, I kind of wanted to do some of the extras in that. But I told Bob last week, like, let's be honest, I usually don't ever beat a game to 100% completion. I don't do side quests. I told Wells this the other day. I said, dude, I've got a bad habit of picking up a game, getting halfway through and tossing it to the side, starting a new one.
I do the same.
I went through and played the Uncharted games again. I got to 4, got halfway through. quit playing it because
they're so good.
Something else came out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Resident Evil 4. Got halfway through Resident Evil 4, threw that to the side. Something else came out. And then I bought the Mass Effect collection. It comes with the first three games. I got about halfway through the first game. Threw that to the side. There are more. I never beat the first God of War game. I never beat the first Horizon Zero Dawn game. I got halfway through those, tossed them to the side. I don't know why I don't finish things. I think this is a theme in my life.
I think you're right. But I do the exact same thing. I haven't...
KOTOR, I bought the collection. KOTOR 1 and 2. Got through not even halfway at 1 and I stopped playing.
I think the last game that I beat, where I just beat the story, like not even trying to 100%, was the first Spider-Man game, the Insomniac game on PS4. I think that might be the last one that I actually played all the way through because I got Hogwarts I bought Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, that's another one.
Loved it. Hogwarts not even a quarter Legacy away through it. Is an absolute blast of a game. I haven't played it in months.
Same. I haven't played it since it came out. I got about a quarter
because I can't remember the controls.
I thought about doing the same thing. I was like, man, I think I might just start over.
But yeah, I do the same thing. Now I know why I do it. I'm well aware why I do it. I don't have time to play. And I want to. I bought this Xbox and Allie was like, well, why are we getting this digital one? I thought we need a, don't you want one with a Blu-ray player or something so we can at least use it because you're not gonna actually play it. And I was like, I'll play it. You don't know. And then I hop on and I'll play one match of Fortnite or I'll play 10 minutes of Gotham Knights and then I'll pass out with the controller in my hand. So the reason why I don't do it is because I'm just simply exhausted. So tired all the time. And I'm so tired all the time because you won't come over and help out at the house. I'm going to blame you. Hey, you're a part of this marriage too.
That's true. I need to do my part.
You need to do your part. Come over and take care of these kids every now and again.
Live my end of the couch.
Pivot.
But yeah, but that's my rant this week about this game. I've got a few more in the chamber I'd like to bust out. So if you're liking our video games reviews, please let it video games reviews our video game reviews. Please let us know. Please let us know.
Please let us know.
I'm going to pass it back over to Derek who can speak.
Yeah, I'm going to reiterate that. If you're liking the video game content, let us know. We're coming into a season where there's not as much going on in TV because of everything that was happening with the strikes. A lot of things are getting pushed back. There are a couple of things that we're going to hit. We're going to try and get to Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. I know Ian hasn't seen the movie, but this isn't a sequel. It's a kind of a retelling and a different telling of the story. I really want to watch it. I know we are definitely going to cover What If Season 2. I haven't decided how we're going to do that yet because they're dropping that one a day for 9 days leading up to Christmas. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to just do a whole series review or not, but we'll talk about that for sure. But yeah, so we have some things coming up, but we're going to have a lot of time here in the winter and spring where there's not going to be a lot of TV to talk about. So if there are games that you want us to discuss, if there's comics, books, anything you guys want to hear us talk about, want to get our opinion on, I would love to do that.
Me too.
Cause we want content. And I'm too tired to come up with things. Yeah.
Oh, I got an idea. I'm not saying they're good, but I
can. No. Well, we have ideas. We got top fives and things like that. But I think we're going to wrap this up. A couple of things. One, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell. Don't forget to rate and review us if you're listening on the audio format only. Excuse me. A little gassy. Check out our merch store if you want to support the show. If you want more stuff from me, check out Nerd Initiative. There's a link below. Also, Nerd Initiative is doing a giveaway for Hanukkah. Since Hanukkah starts tonight, we're recording on Thursday night. It is the 8 crazy nights of comics. And if you go onto any of our social media on Nerd Initiative, there's a template you can fill out where every night you pick a comic and talk about it. And you could be entered in for a drawing for like some Nerd Initiative swag. I think we're giving away a hoodie and some comic books. So definitely go and check that out. Also, I'm going to go ahead and start talking about this now. On December 23rd, I believe at 9 o'clock, p.m. Eastern time. Ian and I are going to be joining Sean, formerly of the Caption Life, currently Crit Hit the Giant on social media. We're going to be joining him and a couple other people. We're doing a live play of The Fight Before Christmas, which I'm going to be the game master. Everyone is going to be the players. And the objective is to, quote, kick the shit out of Santa Claus. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of hijinks and a good time. We're going to stream that on Twitch and YouTube. I will have links and all of that available very, very soon. But I wanted to get the word out there. All right. All of that said and done, I can breathe again. I hope everybody has a wonderful evening. Happy Hanukkah to everyone who celebrates Hanukkah. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for all of your support. For Ian, I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.